Did your grandmother know much about the printing business?
I don't. She must have, but I don't. I'm not certain.
Well, what do you remember any...
And your, I know my mother did.
Your mother did?
My mother, she had set many sticks of type.
Oh, so she was, oh, really? Could she work a linotype, or could she just use the composite stick?
Just, I think, just hand set. Mm-hmm.
Did you have a linotype in your office
yes,
in Orangeville?
We had a Model 17.
Oh, and how does that differ? In what way does that differ from the one that's in the British
Museum?
Well, it
looked the same, but the main difference was that it had more magazines. You see, some of them, some of them had two magazines side by side.
I've seen those, and they sort of spring out.
Others had magazines one on top of the other. Mm-hmm. Ours had two magazines that way. So if you want to change, instead of lifting it off and taking a chance on spilling the 1,500 mats on the floor, you just moved it, get up, and reached up and pulled a lever. And the magazine went up or down to get the one you wanted. Some of them had four. We had two.
So
I think ours perhaps could have been adapted to four, but we had two.
You used two. You had the one. Did you have the linotype, the imposing stone? The
there were three stones, quite a bunch of type cases. I forget how many, but and we had we had two platens.
Were they both the same size, or was one?
No, one was a big one, not quite as big as a Chandler Price. I forget the size, but it was very close. The next size below that.
Mm-hmm. And then,
we had a pearl, like the one in the
little
village.
Pearl one.
And we had a Babcock Wilcox cylinder press, which would take four pages at a time.
I've heard, this is probably off a subject, what is a Ludlow press?
A Ludlow is not a press, it was a type casting machine. It was basically the type casting end of the linotype, but it didn't look like that, but that's what it was.
Was it a prototype of a linotype?
No, I think it was patented in 87. Just after the linotype, but
it
had brass mats, you see, to set headings.
Mm-hmm.
Now the mats were about that big. Oh, they'd be, if you took those little oyster crackers, took about two or three of them together in one top, that'd be about the size of the mat, although it'd vary with the size of the type, but we'll say that. Now imagine a letter stamped into that.
Mm-hmm.
Now you had a stick, which was just a two rods, basically, and you pick up. Now, I never ran one. I've seen them operate it. I knew a fellow, and you should know a fellow, the Toronto Star Young fellow. Sometimes I'd go in and see him. He made me a few slugs from time to time. But you pick up the mats, slide them into this between these two rods, lock it up, a little clip on the end. Now, the melting pot was down here. You'd shove that in the
down mat. On the. The
melting pot
front,
would be
front
here,
mm-hmm. instead of on the left,
like a table.
Mm-hmm.
The melting pot in there on the mold. Put this on top of the mold, and if I remember right, I'm not sure whether you pulled a lever or pressed something. I forgot just what activated it. But anyhow, the molten metal went in the mold, much the same as wood on the linotype, and it took the form of a cast a slug like a linotype slug, but with larger type on it.
Oh, I see. That was the advantage
for headings. You see now. If you looked at a 1920 or 30 or 40 newspaper, looked at daily paper, looked at the display advertisement, say for a department
mm-hmm.
store, you'd probably find quite a bit of Ludlow stuff in that.
Oh, really? We've got somebody gave us some old, just said, here, I don't want these papers anymore.
It might be
the
special
papers.
Sale ladies spring coats, $19.95. Now, there might be a few lines of smaller types, say 12 points from the linotype in that. But the type possibly 3/4 of an inch or an inch, maybe 60 point or 72 point, that would be Ludlow.
Mm. When your grandfather was born in Ireland.
But as a child, they came to Canada. Now, I don't know if they came in or just before, probably the start of the potato famine.
Well, that would be 1849 was the, of course, it was 1847 to 1851 were the years of the heaviest
invasion. Well, I think they were in Canada before that. Anyhow, he came to Canada, and the family settled at Whitby, Ontario. There are still Foleys there. I know of them, but I don't know them. But I know there are some there. They settled at Whitby, Ontario, and he went into working on the local paper and learned printing. He worked for a while on a paper called the Galt Jester, and I think he had a little...
The Galt Jester?
Mm-hmm. I've got a copy of it somewhere in my archives. Sheet of it so big.
Mm-hmm.
And He may have worked on other papers at Canada, but he went to, just at the start of the Civil War, before the war got underway, he worked in Cincinnati, and then he worked in Wheeling, Virginia. Not West Virginia in those days, Virginia. That was when there was no state of West Virginia. Then, now the story is, and I've often thought of going to, if I ever get in that part of the country, try to check up on it. He was a pretty fair editorial writer, and kind of a, and in those days, the editorial writers were fairly wild. I mean, they didn't pull their punches.
Mm-hmm.
If they thought you were a crook, they called you a crook.
Called you a crook. That's true. You read some of those things from back then.
But anyhow,
your hair curl.
he wrote an article against slavery. Wheeling, of course, they were slaves in town. I don't suppose the slaves ever read it. They couldn't read anyhow. But some of the slave owners read the article.
Oh, yes.
And they took after the editor of the paper.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody warned my grandfather that they would be after him, too. So he got out of town. I don't think he waited for his wages. I think he headed out of town and got across the river on a ferry into Ohio as fast as he could before the mob of horseships could get him. And he didn't go back to Wheeling.
Good idea.
And shortly after that, the war broke out.
Mm-hmm.
He was just a kid at the time. Of course, in those days, people didn't live as long as boys, particularly in the New World. They could advance much faster if they had ability than they could, I guess, in Europe, more than they could today.
Wow, yeah,
that's why
they came.
Some butcher talked him into going to Orange one thing. It was going to be quite a city, and there was a number of railroads projected. They go through there. Of course, those railroads protected all over North America.
So this would be in the 1860s.
So he went to Orangeville and started up the Orangeville Sun.
The Orangeville Sun. Who would go out in that office and solicit business?
Pardon?
Who would go out and solicit business or trying to get printing jobs?
Well, he probably would do so, probably in the saloons.
Well, he'd get round to the drinking again, yeah.
Talking to one of the merchants. And of course, when he'd first be there, there was no competition. And in Ontario, and the same in the U.S., and the newspapers, usually the competition was started not by a business competitor, but by a political competitor.
Well, definitely.
If you're running the liberal paper in town,
there had to be
the conservative want a paper, and they get, perhaps I'm a conservative, they get one of me. All right. They talked me into going into the, into starting a newspaper in town. So now there's competition, or vice versa. If you were the conservative and running the paper and there's no liberal paper, no, the liberals, we need a paper.
Yeah, I read that politics was big business in Canada. Every newspaper was not only was expected to have an opinion. That's why they bought
newspapers until very recently, maybe some of them still do, used to publicly state that they were liberal or that they were conservative.
Oh, did they?
And in the
and your grandfather was a
conservative.
Conservative. And how many people would work in that office?
I don't know, but I imagine there must have been about 10 or 12 in its heyday. Of course, that's in the days of handset type. They had to use more
help. They had to use more help. Would any of them be members of a union?
No.
No.